gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the snooker table of free speech. Why a snooker table? Because it's 12 feet long, not just 6 feet long like a pool table. So for all of that extra slate, we need extra donations. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage, and then download the co-certified app from nationalbugle.com so you can make sure that your fish and chips are not kosher certified or are kosher certified. It's up to you. Do that with the co-certified app. It's the number one app for finding out whether your fish and chips are kosher certified or not. That's my introduction.
Thank you, Patrick. And on my show, I number the shows, and today it's number 1776. I only just realised. And so what I'd like to do is ask Patrick, what are your thoughts when you hear 1776? What do you associate that with most, good or bad?
Well, Adam Smith wrote his book. What was his title of his book, his big book? But also, of course, you ought, really, it's the Declaration of Independence. Was it all worth it? And, you know, on the one hand, you had a couple of centuries where United States became the dominant country of the world, for better or for worse. Actually, probably for worse. But you know, in the process of doing that, you had this massive middle class, became it was very successful, contributed greatly to the modern, you know, modernity, the modern era, the technology. So it seems like it was a successful project, but, you know, was it worth it? Declaring independence from Great Britain, which if there was any other country that would deserve the title of the midwife of you know, the modern era, it would be Great Britain. Was it worth it? I have no idea. And if were I alive, would I have supported the War of Independence? Frankly, I'd like to think I wouldn't have. I don't know if it was worth it, but who knows? There's no going back and doing a counterfactual.
Yeah, indeed. And the other thing that I've got from 1776 is the formation of the Illuminati by Adam Weishaupt, and that was done on 1st of May as well, which we just had a couple of days ago. And essentially what how it was formed was Weishaupt infiltrated the Continental Order of Freemasons with an Illuminati doctrine and established lodges of the Grand Orient to be their secret headquarters. And he also recruited 2,000 paid followers, including the most intelligent men in the field of arts and letters, education, science, finance, and industry. And they were instructed to adhere to the following methods in order to control people. 1. Use monetary and sex bribery to obtain control of men already in high places, in the various levels of all governments and other fields of endeavour. Once influential persons have fallen for the lies, deceits and temptations of the Illuminati, they are to be held in bondage by application of political and other forms of blackmail, threats of financial ruin, public exposure and fiscal harm, even death to themselves and their family members. 2. The faculties of colleges and universities are to cultivate students possessing exceptional mental ability, as well as belonging to well-bred families with international leanings, and recommend them for special training in internationalism, or rather the notion that only a one world government can put an end to turbulence and strife. Such training is to be provided by granting scholarships to those selected by the Illuminati. 3. All influential people trapped into coming under the control of the Illuminati, plus the students who have been specially educated and trained, are to be used as agents and placed behind the scenes of all governments as experts and specialists. This is to ensure they advise the top executives to adopt policies which in the long run serve the secret plans of the Illuminati One World Conspiracy and bring about the destruction of the governments and religions they are elected or appointed to serve. And finally, 4, to obtain absolute control of the printing press, at that time the only mass communications media which distributed information to the public, so that all news and information could be slanted to make the masses believe that the one world government is the only solution to the world's many and varied problems. So, Paul, that very much looks like the world we have today. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it does. I must say, I mean, I don't really know that much about, you know, the Illuminati. It's a fairly nebulous term. It sounds to me, you know, rightly or wrong, it sounds to me like Jewish interests, really. Sounds more like what I would understand as how the Jews are operating, really. I'm sure, you know, they're not all Jews. There's a lot of non-Jewish moving parts in this whole thing, but my understanding of it is that from 1776?
Yeah, May the 1st, 1776, it was formed.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding of the United States was that for a couple of centuries, it did do pretty well. And you had, for the first time in history, the middle class making up the bulk of the population. And it's debatable whether the United States ever really got independent of the European central banks, of people like, you know, Kuhn Loeb Company, which eventually brought in the Federal Reserve there. But to my mind, that's, you know, when you had an influx of Jewish immigrants and the establishment of the Federal Reserve, that was the beginning of the end for the United States. In fact, I think the United States project is already over, just simply on demographics. It was set up with a cohesive demography of white Europeans, and that's no longer the case. And that in itself has destroyed social and cultural and political cohesion. And you add into that the tragic phenomenon of the white liberals, and it's not the same country that was set up or anything close to it. But again, I'm by no means an authority on the Illuminati, I must say. It sounds like it's probably linked in there with secret societies and Jewish power, and it's a bit of a hodgepodge of things. But I think whatever, it's the same in this country. During the 20th century, you had the usurpation of white elites by Jewish elites.
Interesting. And the other thing I just want to get into, and then I'm going to hand over to Patrick and Paul for, you know, the bulk of the show to discuss the situation, worsening situation with Ukraine, especially with Russia making it quite clear what's going to happen to countries that support the Ukraine. There's a headline on the BBC, Israel outrage at Sergei Lavrov's claim it was not Jewish, published on Monday. Israel has reacted with fury after Russia's foreign minister claimed that Nazi leader Adolf Hitler had Jewish blood. Sergei Lavrov made the comments to try to justify Russia's portrayal of Ukraine as Nazi, despite the fact that its president is Jewish. Israel's foreign ministry summoned Russia's ambassador for clarification and demanded an apology. Nazi Germany murdered 6 million Jews in the Holocaust in World War II. Mr. Lavrov made the remarks in an interview on Italian TV programme Zona Bianca on Sunday, days after Israel marked Holocaust Remembrance Day, one of the most solemn occasions in the Israeli calendar. When asked how Russia can claim that it is fighting to denazify Ukraine when President Volodymyr Zelensky is himself Jewish, Mr. Lavrov said, "So what if Zelensky is Jewish? The fact does not negate the Nazi elements in Ukraine. I believe that Hitler also had Jewish blood," adding that some of the worst anti-Semites are Jews. The minister's statement was met with outrage across Israel's political spectrum. Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett said, "Such lies are meant to blame the Jews themselves for the most terrible crimes in history, and thus the oppressors of the Jews from their responsibility. No war today is the Holocaust, or is it like the Holocaust?" Israeli Foreign Minister Yair Lapid reacted angrily, calling Mr. Lavrov's words unforgivable. Mr. Lavrov was also condemned by the head of Israel's Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial, Danny Dayan. "Most of his remarks are absurd, delusional, dangerous, and deserving of any condemnation," he tweeted. Lavrov deals with the reversal of the Holocaust, turning the victims into criminals based upon the promotion of a completely unfounded claim that Hitler was of Jewish descent. The BBC's John Donison in Jerusalem says the strength of the reaction reflects just how deeply an offensive and unconscionable Mr. Lavrov's comments will be to both Jews in Israel and around the world. Over recent months, Israel, which has a large Russian population, has tried at times to act as a mediator between Russia and Ukraine. But he says the Israeli government has faced some criticism for not taking a tough enough line with President Putin. Mr. Lavrov's comments will test Israel's relations with Russia, and while offensive to many, they reflect a common narrative amongst the Kremlin supporters, our correspondent adds. There have been for decades unproven claims that Hitler's unidentified paternal grandfather was Jewish, fueled by an assertion by Hitler's lawyer Hans Frank. In his memoir published in 1953, Frank said he had been instructed by Hitler to investigate rumours he had Jewish ancestry. Frank said he uncovered evidence that Hitler's grandfather was indeed Jewish, though the claim, which has gained ground among conspiracy theorists, has been treated with scepticism by mainstream historians. Well, that's not actually true, because I've got in my book, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded and Uncensored, that you can get from my publisher's website, thesynagogueofsatan.com, entry for 1940, Hans-Jürgen Kohler's book, Inside the Gestapo, Hitler's Shadow Over the World, states the following of Maria Anna Schickelgruber, Adolf Hitler's grandmother. A little servant girl came to Vienna and became a domestic servant. At the Rothschild mansion, and Hitler's unknown grandfather must be probably looked for in this magnificent house. This is reiterated by Walter Langer in his book, The Mind of Adolf Hitler, The Secret Wartime Report, in which he states, Adolf's father, Alois Hitler, was the illegitimate son of Maria Anna Schickelgruber. Maria Anna Schickelgruber was living in Vienna at the time she conceived. At that time, she was employed as a servant in the home of Baron Rothschild. As soon as the family discovered her pregnancy, she was sent back home where Alice was born. And interestingly, I got a letter sent to my publisher at the time, Tex Mars, when this book came out in 2007. Power of Prophecy published it. And it was from Willis Carto. And I actually reproduce it in this book, a photocopy of it on the page. This is what he said. It's dated March the 26th of 2007. Dear Mr. Hitchcock, I've read your excellent Synagogue of Satan and congratulate you on what must have taken you weeks and months to write. A chronological history of the Rothschilds is extremely valuable as well as interesting. The only error in it that I found, although in such a detailed work there are bound to be some errors, is on page 140 when you repeat the propaganda that Hitler was the son of a Rothschild. Numerous investigations have determined that Hitler was the son of a mother and father whose ancestors had lived in the same area of Austria for many centuries. Interestingly, Hitler was the product of inbreeding, as are so many Jews. Thus, many of his attributes and characteristics were exaggerated, as are many Jewish characteristics, due to the same reason. I suggest you read the book by August Kubizek, The Young Hitler I Knew, if you wish to follow up on this line. It is an incredibly interesting book about an incredibly interesting personality. Sincerely, Willis Carto. So there you go. There's comments from both sides there. Patrick, any comments yourself? What are your thoughts before?
Yeah, I've got a few comments. So first of all, regarding Sergei Lavrov, I really don't know why he brought up, you know, this thing about Hitler, because given the question that he was asked, how can you say that you want to denazify Ukraine when the Ukrainian president's Jewish? I mean, I think the headline there is, yeah, the Ukrainian president's Jewish. You got a country that's 0.13% Jewish, and you've got this Jewish leadership, you've got the Jewish president. I know you've had at least two Jewish prime ministers. Is the current prime minister Jewish? I can't even keep up with it. I'm pretty sure the defense minister is Jewish. Why do you have, if they're only 0.13% Jewish, why do you have all this Jewish leadership? Okay, so that's, I mean, to me, that's the headline. And then, but secondary to that is, you obviously do have this self-identifying Nazi component to their, to their military. You've got these Azov brigades, and the leaders and many of the members have swastikas tattooed on them. So this is bizarre. These are two undeniable facts, that you've got a Jewish-run government, not just a Jewish president, but you've got a Jewish-run government in Ukraine that is utilizing these self-identifying Nazis. So you do have – these were both facts. And he should have just thrown that back in the face of whoever asked him. The business of Hitler, did he have a Jewish great-grandfather? Right? I mean, that was – the allegation is that his maternal grandmother – that this was his maternal grandmother who was I guess that would make his father half-Jewish, right? But Hitler wouldn't have even known about it and had to ask somebody when he was already Führer. He had to ask somebody to check his lineage. How if that's all true, you know, that he found out as while he was already Führer of Germany that he had Jewish ancestry, or maybe he suspected it before. But really, what difference would that make? Even if it's true. And
I agree.
Yeah, even if it's true, what difference does it make? And then plus, everything that we've heard, you still wouldn't know it's true. Even if his grandmother had worked at the Rothschild mansion, the Rothschilds were like the richest family in the world. They would have had tons of servants, and servant girls got pregnant sometimes from the people that they worked for. But I'm sure tons and tons of times they got pregnant from the other workers there. There would have been tons of other workers. So you'd have no way of knowing, no way of checking it. They didn't have DNA tests back then. So,
or any number of esteemed non-Jewish guests that would be dining there or whatever, you know, it could have been anybody.
Yeah, it would have been anybody. And then just regarding the Illuminati, so yeah, that's it's a secret society, and there are secret societies. There are the Masons, and there's the White Dragon Society or the Black Dragon Society in the Far East, and there are secret societies. And you know, just because 250 years ago, that some people setting up a secret society said they had certain goals, and then a quarter millennia later, a lot of those goals seem to have come to fruition. What's the connection? We talk about the world, the domination over the world media. Was it the people involved in the Illuminati who made that come to pass, or was it a completely different group? I mean, if we get together and we decide that we would like to see, I don't know, we would like to see, you know, people living in a space station, like a colony living in a space station, and then 250 years from now, the Chinese have a colony living in the space, a colony in space. Does that mean that we had anything to do with it? So those are my questions, or my responses.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah. Okay, so the other news that we've got, and this is very problematic for Paul and I because we both live in London. Our government has been repeatedly poking the Russian bear, and against certainly Paul and my will, have been promoting Ukraine, sending them weapons and what have you, even though Russia has warned that they're going to regard anyone who backs the Ukraine in that manner as an enemy. A wartime enemy. But Paul, you know about this. How are you feeling about this at the moment?
Well, yeah, we are very aggressive over here. Just as bad as the State Department, if not worse, because we've had a series of MPs, you know, not that long ago, there was an MP called for the removal of Putin, Sir Edward Lee, MP for Gainsborough, said someone needs to have the courage to get rid of the leader, but the leader who is sitting in the Kremlin. Then we've had an ex-military guy, MP James Heapy, said, quote, it's completely legitimate for Kiev to identify targets in Russia who disrupt attacks. So he basically backed the Ukraine being carried out strikes against Russian soil with British weapons.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Military guy, MP James Heapy said, quote, "It's completely legitimate for Kiev to identify targets in Russia to disrupt attacks." So he basically backs the Ukraine carrying out strikes against in Russian soil with British weapons. We had Liz Truss, the foreign secretary, who I had never heard of up until the beginning of this war in Ukraine. She said, "Oh, we cannot be complacent. The fate of the Ukraine hangs in the balance." And I couldn't help thinking, sorry, did she say the Ukraine or the UK? Because, sorry, I don't really care about, you know, what of it if the Ukraine hangs and the fate of the Ukraine hangs in the balance. It means nothing to me. I don't know why she assumes that it does. These people get so caught up in their own propaganda and little lapels of Ukrainian flags everywhere. They must think that everyone buys into to their own BS. But James Heapy said, "It's not necessarily a problem if British donated weapons were used to hit sites on Russian soil." After accepting that weapons allies' weapons were supplying to Ukraine had the range to be used over borders, and he said he basically dismissed Lavrov as bravado when Lavrov echoed Vladimir Putin last week when he warned of a lightning quick response to any outside interference, the type of interference that the British are recklessly indulging in. Putin suggests he will use nukes. This was an article in the Daily Mail last week as well. We had former U.S. NATO commander wants to put troops on the ground in the Ukraine. So, you know, this guy, James Heapy, just dismisses Lavrov and Putin as bravado. I don't see evidence for this. Anytime I see Putin saying he's going to do something, he does it. And what if he's wrong? I mean, it seems that we've lost our fear of nuclear strikes, even when you have Vladimir Putin himself saying that he would use nuclear weapons and that, you know, any interference. Russia's chief propagandist threatens to plunge Britain into the depths of the sea with underwater poison nuke that would trigger a 16,000-foot radioactive tidal wave and wipe the UK off the map. Russian state media has urged Putin to wipe the UK off the map using the most powerful nuclear weapons as the despot's propaganda machine continues to threaten mass death over support of the war in Ukraine. So all this stuff's going on, and it's just like it's kind of in the background, and it's as if no one takes it seriously. Well, you know, it concerns me. Vladimir Putin possesses more than enough nuclear weapons to wipe out the UK, and we have no defense against it. We have virtually no defenses against nuclear weapons. It used to be you even had alarms, you know, in the Cold War days, you had alarms that went off and you had places where, you know, some people could go. Well, we've got rid of all those defenses and provisions. You would now get a text message as your phone melts in your hand, warning you of a nuclear strike. That's if the Russians didn't actually commit a cyber attack to bring down all the mobile phone networks, and they have threatened cyber attacks as well. So anyway, they just don't seem to be taking them seriously, and they just seem to think this is all just fun and games. I take it more seriously that our MPs, which are supposed to, you know, be responsible for the people they represent.
Yeah. And an article on Monday in the Daily Mail, Russia's chief propagandist threatens to plunge Britain into the depths of the sea with underwater.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
That would trigger a 1,600-foot radioactive tidal wave and wipe the UK off the map. So they've got the weapons, and we're just dismissing it in the same way that we dismissed that Putin would actually invade the Ukraine. Of course,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if he's done that, why wouldn't he do this?
There was also a big Russian media outlet during the week. I saw a YouTube video clip of a girl on there saying that a nuclear strike was probable.
Yeah, I think I saw that too. And let's see, it says Kiselov also threatened the UK with an attack by Sarmat-2, Russia's latest nuclear missile, which was tested by Putin a fortnight ago, which he claimed could also completely destroy the UK with just a single impact. Their island is so small that one Sarmat missile is enough to drown it once and for all, he said. It is capable of destroying an area the size of Texas or England. A single launch, Boris, and there is no England anymore. So there you go. These are, you know, these aren't things that you should just dismiss out of hand. It's certainly something that concerns me. But of course, the concerns of you and I in England are never adhered to by the government, are they, Paul?
No, they're absolutely not. They get into power promising all sorts of things, and then when they get into power, they just do what they really want to do and carry out their own agenda, which is usually diametrically opposed to the will of the people that actually voted them into power. So it's the UK, the British are just a rogue state.
Go ahead, Patrick. You take over.
Well, I was just going to say briefly, I heard Andrew Anglin on the Killstream, Ethan Ralph's Killstream, I guess on Friday night, and he was debating probably a Jew. It was somebody who had called up and was saying that he was a commercially successful Ukrainian in the United States, which odds are would be a Jew. But at any rate, the person kept challenging him on, you know, Russian policy, and, you know, the Russians are threatening to nuke the United States. What do you think of that? And Andrew Anglin said, well, I support nuking American cities. It was funny. If you get a chance to listen.
Ground floor perfumery, stationery and leather goods, wigs and haberdashery, kitchenware and food.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. Chuck Schumer and other progressives want President Biden to forgive $50,000 in student loans per student. First of all, it's not forgiveness. It would be taxpayers repaying the loans. Forgiving the loan would be the bank saying that it didn't need to be paid back. Rest assured, the bank will get their money. Or should I say, our money. I didn't go to college because I didn't want the debt, and I'll be damned if I willingly pay off other people's useless degrees. Government created this problem by insisting that everyone needs to go to college, and now the government is doing what it always does, expecting you and I to pay to fix the problem. Student debt forgiveness will be the death of all personal responsibility. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Cephas Packham, Parabellum.
Threatening to nuke the United States. What do you think of that? And Andrew Anglin said, well, I support nuking American cities. It was funny. If you get a chance to listen to it. But of course, living in an American city, I don't particularly want our cities to be nuked. I would rather our leadership come to their senses. Right now we've got Adam Kinzinger, who's an anti-Trump Republican, closely aligned to Dick Cheney's daughter, and he is introducing a resolution that would authorize American troops to be sent to Ukraine and engage in the fight. The Foreign Secretary Liz Truss? Is that her name? What's her name?
Yeah, Beth Truss. Yeah, she's saying that. You know, the fate of the Ukraine hangs in the balance, and yeah. You know, we cannot be complacent. But you know, why do I care? I mean, all these people. Are, yeah.
And what does that even mean? The fate of Ukraine. Okay, the fate of Ukraine hangs in the balance. Do they continue to be a country with such and such territory ruled by Jews, or are they going to be a country with somewhat less territory, maybe ruled by Ukrainians, maybe ruled by Ukrainians under a lot of influence from Moscow. So, yeah, that is the fate of Ukraine. It could go this way. It could go that way. One way might be better than the other way. Frankly, I think they're better off not being ruled by Jews. But to say the fate of Ukraine lies in the balance, well, what about the existence of various Ukrainian individuals? Because the longer this goes on, the more Ukrainian individuals are going to die. And in the end, Russia's going to meet its military objectives. And this is just rank sadism, really, to continue to funnel weapons into a doomed project. It's a doomed military project. There's absolutely no way that the Ukrainians, with all this weaponry, are going to stop the Russians from meeting their military objectives. The only way to stop the Russians from meeting their military objectives is a nuclear World War III, where nobody meets any objectives. We all, you know, we poison the earth and have massive numbers of people die. That's the only way it works. And people need to wake up to that.
Yeah. And all those weapons going in there anyway. I mean, there was a big strike last week by the Russians on a military gear being brought in. They just blew it all up. So, there's nothing really getting in and out of there, I think, that the Russians aren't controlling, you know.
Right. And then remember when the United States and the UK, we invaded Iraq, our countries invaded Iraq, and had the Iraqis themselves managed to retaliate against the United States or the UK on our homelands, there would have been outrage. That would have been terrorism. You know, you could say, well, the Ukrainians have been invaded. For them to fight back and attack targets inside of Russia is legitimate. Okay, you could say that's legitimate. Is it wise? I mean, the wise thing for them to do would be to surrender and come to terms, because they're not going to win. This is insane. And that you've got the Jewish leadership, the Jewish president, the president that the Western media is so proud that he's Jewish. Right. They confront Sergei Lavrov saying, how can they be Nazis? They've got a Jewish president. OK, so they got this Jewish president that you're so proud of, who's fighting to the last Ukrainian after he let all of the Jews leave. Right. This was one of the most bizarre things at the very start of the war, was this segment on Tucker Carlson, where Tucker Carlson starts the show. He's reporting on Zelensky's announcement that men ages 18 to 60, which includes a lot of boomers, 18 to 60 are not allowed to leave the country. Right. They have to stay and fight. And then in the next segment, he's got this Jewish guy with Hebrew on his vest, literally shilling for money, shilling for donations, because he's getting Jews out of the country. And Tucker's saying, well, I think you're going to have trouble getting them out of the country. Oh, no, we have ways. We can get across the border. We have ways. Do you have our donation page, our website, on this screen? I was told you were going to put it on the screen. I don't know if either of you saw that. But, you know, so you've got the Jewish president who's fighting to the last Ukrainian after he let all the Jews out of Ukraine. Don't people see this as being extremely bizarre? Why is he a hero? Why are the people in the State Department, the Jews who run the State Department, why are they heroes for condemning the Ukrainian population to a fight they can't possibly win, and now openly saying, well, the real objective here is just to weaken Russia, weaken them globally. We just want to weaken Russia.
Yeah, use Ukrainians, as cannon fodder in the process. And it's disgusting. And the penny doesn't seem to have dropped over here. Even our people like FireEye and people on GB News and things like that, you know, they eventually got wind of the COVID thing. It took them long enough. But they're still buying into this anti-Russian support Ukraine BS. And no one's happy to say, yeah, this is all just a proxy war designed to weaken Russia at the expense of the Ukrainian people. And that Vladimir Zelensky is quite prepared to, as you said, it's a cliche now, but to fight to the last Ukrainian. But yet he's hailed as a hero, not a mass murderer of the people he's supposed to represent.
Yeah, the so-called Ukrainian that Andrew Anglin was debating was referencing the Holodomor. I've seen other memes reference the Holodomor. Well, the Holodomor, it wasn't a Russian genocide of Ukrainians. It was a Jewish genocide of Ukrainians. And so if you're going to try to use the parallel, then it's Zelensky who is inflicting a new Holodomor on Ukraine, not Putin.
Yeah, and another interesting thing, and I've heard this from some Russian commentator on RT, maybe on Crosstalk or something. It's quite fascinating because, you know, he was saying, probably without understanding the implications of it, that, you know, when the U.S. Supported, you know, those jihadis in back from the Mujahideen days, and then they were supporting ISIS and so-called moderate rebels, this exploded into a huge global terrorist threat from Islamic groups. And he was predicting that, you know, the West is arming these neo-Nazi groups and funding them. And I think we're going to have a similar, you know, result at the end of all this, where we're going to have massive problems with a kind of a global neo-Nazi terrorist outfit. So it'll all be used in the end anyway for this boogeyman of these neo-Nazis to clamp down on anyone who's actually a dissenter against the Jewish established order of things. And it's just going to escalate this anti-white white supremacy boogeyman narrative.
Yeah. Andy, are you there?
I'm here, Patrick. Yeah, I was just enjoying your discussion. And it's the hypocrisy element, this business that you don't get picked up a lot. I hadn't seen the clip that you talked about from Tucker Carlson. But to turn around and say, right, all Jews could leave but all Ukrainians aged between 18 and 60 have to fight to the last man. It seems very unbalanced to me, and I can't understand. Well, I can understand, but it's surely something that the mainstream media of the West should be pointing out. You know, where's the sort of conflict here? Where's the disparity here? How come some people are allowed to leave one particular group? I didn't hear them talking about any, you know, other races in the Ukraine could leave, but only that particular race. So why were they allowed to leave from avoid fighting on the front line, where all Ukrainian men aged between 18 and 16 had to stay to fight? It seems not very even-handed. So it is interesting for me. The main thing is how this is never picked up by the mainstream media and ran with, as it would be with any media that presented the news as it should be reported. Back to you, Patrick.
Yeah, I was just trying to check on this Denis Shmyhal, who is the current prime minister. I know the prime minister before him, Groysman, was Jewish, but I think there's an incredible vulnerability here for the Jews in this whole project, because it is, without a doubt, it's just this is a Jewish project. This is a Jewish attack on the Russian government, Vladimir Putin and his government. The whole purpose of this is it's to regime change Russia. And why regime change Russia? And I keep going back to after the disintegration of the Soviet Union, the dismemberment of the Soviet Union, Russia was taken over by Jewish oligarchs with the help of international Jewry in the form of State Department officials led by Lawrence Summers, helping to implement this privatization scheme that was drafted by the Jewish professor Jeffrey Sachs, under the charge of the Jewish privatization minister Anatoly Chubais and acting prime minister, also Jewish, Yegor Gaidar, where they hooked up the politically connected Russian citizen Jews like Berezovsky and Khodorkovsky. They hooked them up with international Jewish finance like George Soros and, you know, these other money bags in New York. The whole thing was a Jewish takeover of Russia. And of course it led to disaster for the Russian people. The Russian people throughout the 1990s were trying to shake this yoke off. They elected in 96, they elected Gennady Zyuganov, the communist, to be president, but the election was faked. And they were on the verge of electing him in 2000, and in desperation, as basically a Hail Mary, after having gone through about four prime ministers in a year and a half, including a couple of Jews, they reached and they got this unknown Vladimir Putin, who managed to apparently save the day for him. But then once he consolidated his power, then he kicks out Berezovsky, puts Khodorkovsky in prison, and gets control over the country. The other oligarchs had to stop being oligarchs and just settle with being billionaires. They could keep their money, but they had to sacrifice the garchy. They had to sacrifice their rule over the country. Yeah. And the American Jews could never accept that, the American Jewish elite, and the likes of Victoria Nuland and her allies and in the press and in the State Department and elsewhere have had this two-decade-long project against Vladimir Putin. This is what's going on. And because this current project is so Jewish dominated, you know, from the prime minister, the president, you've got, you know, the State Department, the media, this is being pushed so much by Jews. I think there's an incredible vulnerability. And when they ask questions of Sergei Lavrov, this is why I wish he had handled that question better. Just put it back. Yeah. Why is it? Why is it that you have a Jewish president and he is aligning himself with, you know, these hooligans with swastikas on them? Why? Why do you have a Jewish government?
Yeah, I do find the Russians quite irritating on that front, because they must know what they're dealing with. I mean, they must know that the West is pretty much run by Jews, and yet they use the term Anglo-Saxons in the United States constantly. They actually use the term Anglo-Saxons, don't have a right for, you know, world hegemony, and they must know. So, I mean, I don't know. Are they scared? I don't know. They probably realize that if a direct attack on the Jews might even up the ante even more. But I think it's a fool's errand courting Jewish favor, because Putin has tried to do that, and then it's one of no favors. And this is also an attack on Europe in many ways, because it's completely counterintuitive to European national interest. You had Putin, I think, quite rightly, and probably, you know, he should have done it sooner, but he cut off the tap to Poland and Bulgaria unless they paid in rubles, and I think they have agreed to do that now. But you had Scholz, the German chancellor, maybe 3 weeks ago less, he said, we need to do everything to avoid a direct military conflict between NATO and a heavily armed superpower such as Russia, a nuclear power. I will do everything to avoid an escalation that could lead to World War III. There can be no nuclear war. So here you have the German chancellor seeming to believe that an escalation could lead to World War III and a nuclear war. But yet, the pressure got to him because he did a major reversal after that warning. And he has now approved tanks, German tanks, to be sent to the Ukraine. And this is all from, you know, Jewish State Department controlled, threatening and intimidating. And they don't care. Because, you know, let's look at this. Germany haven't had a huge, you know, military spending in recent years. And we haven't either. We've massively cut back on that. So that would add weight to the argument that Germany saw no threat from Russia. If you've got this, you know, volatile, you know, capricious kind of unpredictable superpower that could nuke you at any moment, you're probably going to bolster your defenses, but they haven't done so. They haven't seen a threat from Russia. But now this has been, you know, part of this is the military industrial complex spending as well, and a lot of those weapons go in there. They don't care about if they're destroyed. This is good for the weapons manufacturers and all that. That's like an added little cherry on top for some money to be made. But you know, Europe is the one that could find itself on the barbecue this summer, you know, as a result of all this, and Scholz seems to believe that. But yet the pressure came and he's now sending tanks to Ukraine, and again, we've sent a lot of gear over there too, and we're saying this guy James Heapy, you know, saying that we should it's completely legitimate if those weapons are used to strike Russian targets on Russian soil, and all their MPs openly calling for, you know, the removal of Vladimir Putin. So I mean, I just don't like where this is going. I mean, how long will Vladimir Putin tolerate this before he does something, you know? And is that what they want? It would seem as if it is what they do want, because they keep just poking that bear. And if there is a strike back, then they'll, if it's a NATO country, they'll say, oh, that's it, World War III has started. I mean, we're very, very close to that. And no one really seems to sort of be too bothered, which I just find bizarre.
So the thing is, it's, you know, you've got all the military stuff going on in Ukraine, but this attack on the Russian leadership. This attempt to regime change Russia goes beyond the military. Obviously, there's this massive economic front, and they've pulled out all the stops trying to destroy the Russian economy. They've seized...
Which hasn't worked.
What? Yeah, it hasn't worked, but I mean, they seized, what, $600 billion worth of assets? They're doing all this stuff, and they are going for broke.
From now he always shall be single. To fall in love with boys is weird, especially boys without a tingle. Blackadder, Blackadder, his taste is rather odd. Blackadder, Blackadder, a randy little sod. Lord Flasher, Lord Flasher, I wish you were the star. Lord Flasher, Lord Flasher, you're sexier by far.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-and lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-and lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What? Yeah, it hasn't worked, but I mean, they seized, what, $600 billion worth of assets? They're doing all this stuff, and they are going for broke. And honestly, I think that the economic damage is going to be more on the Western side than on the Russian side.
Sure, of course.
But they're attempting this. And, you know, what happens to the leadership of countries that get regime changed? Well, what happened to Saddam Hussein and many of his government members? What happened to Muammar Gaddafi? So this is existential for the Russian leadership. I mean, they have to prevail, or they will die as individuals. They will die. So yeah. you've pushed them this far. Why do you think that if you push even farther, that they are going to refrain from using nuclear weapons if that's what it comes to? So why would you want to push them this far? And the people who are driving this policy, we don't have – it's not our smartest. These aren't our smartest people. Victoria Nuland's not our smartest person. She's, you know, she's there. You can trace her career. She's there. She's the point person because she's been in the State Department for a long time and had the connections and had personal connections with Biden because they had worked together closely on the post coup d'etat Ukraine. She's somebody who's, you know, she was the State Department foreign policy advisor to Dick Cheney when he was vice president. She was a former ambassador to NATO when they were first trying to get Ukraine and Georgia into NATO. So, she's the person, not that she's the smartest, but she's the one who's got the resume. And so she speaks Russian. She's the one who's out in front, but she's not the smartest. And these people who are in charge, they are they vulnerable to miscalculation because they haven't assessed the situation right? They're not the brightest people. But they're driving.
And they live in a bubble, and they think that they're invincible. But, you know, Russia is not Iraq, and they will not remove Vladimir Putin. There will be nuclear strikes on Western nations before there will be regime change in Russia. That's just a fact. It is a fact. If Russia feels that it's actually vulnerable to having regime change, which would also represent the destruction of the Russian Federation because they would stick a Western puppet in there, it would just become like Ukraine, Russia would. There will be nuclear strikes. And I don't know why people are not taking them seriously because, you know, they're talking about it. They're not even saying we'll strike back and this and that will happen. They're actually saying we'll use nuclear weapons. I mean, what is wrong with these people? I mean, you know, the nuclear warheads those guys have over there are, you know, there is no defense against them. Putin himself has said that they could strike America in a very short period of time. I saw the trial of some of their missiles and stuff like that, or, you know, that sort of technology they have, and it's frightening. And we're not prepared for that. As I say, we don't have, since the, you know, abolition of the Soviet Union, all our, you know, sort of defenses against nuclear attacks, they've all been dropped, and there's been no fear of that. So we're actually very vulnerable to that. And, you know, as I said, they need to forget about these ideas of regime change because there will be a nuclear attack before that'll happen. And that's a sad tragedy.
Well, thank you very much for joining me, Andy and Paul.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You always tell me, perhaps, 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 perhaps.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.